genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Frequency, resonance, and vibration research that will eventually become our power sources, cure illnesses, and even impart happiness and love. Excuse me. David Adelson is a meditation teacher and lecturer. He spent more than 38 years exploring and studying consciousness, the unified field, as he calls it, and how it emerges into concrete matter. He has created programs that have helped individuals in 12 countries and in 20 states throughout the United States. His latest book is titled Spiritual Living in a Crazy, Screwy, Nutsy World. Welcome to the show, David. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Well, I'm terrific. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And let me just jump right into it. Albert Einstein, in the last two decades of his life, he spent it studying future technologies of frequencies, resonance, and vibrations. Today, scientists continue to work on how to identify and implement these things. Explain to us and to the scientists what they're looking for and what are some of the practical applications that we have with frequencies and with vibrations.
Okay. So I want to, before we go anywhere, thank you for having me on. This is
it's my pleasure.
To bring this information out. It's not something that we're all taught in schools is covered on the nightly news. But it's useful because what Einstein was working on was saying, is there a unifying field which is the most fundamental from which everything emerges? And if there is, and this is what the unified field of all the laws of nature is and unified field theories are about, if there is, if we can work from that level, then we can do less and accomplish more. So the whole point is some of his research obviously led to the development of the atomic bomb, which is a very destructive way of handling that kind of information. And given what was going on in the world at the time, the military was kind of prevalent. The interesting thing is that these same kinds of very deep technologies can be very profound in a very life-supporting and life-generating way. Now, what happens is that the atomic bomb came about because of the understanding that subtler levels are more powerful. Okay, if I hit, you know, a wall, not that much happens. If I hit with the same impact an atom, I can split an atom, and with that there's a huge explosion. So these subtler levels, these more underlying levels, have more power and more effect. Does that make sense?
All right, go through that again. If you hit a wall, you're going to probably end up breaking your hand.
I hit it with a baseball bat, whatever. I mean, the point is that if we hit that level of just, you know, hitting a rock or hitting a wall or something, not that much happens, okay? Something happens. But if we hit and shake an atom, then and break that, then the result is much more significant because it's a more underlying level that we're working with.
Right.
We'll use an example, okay? So suppose we take a very, very powerful engine from a boat, and we stick that 3 feet into the water, and it's going to make some spray, okay?
All right.
And we're talking like a really powerful one, okay? And then we take that same thing and we drop it down 10 feet, and let's say we're in a pool. You can see how that the pool water is now going to start flowing. It's going to be a completely different effect because the deeper levels are being moved.
All right. We're talking to David Adelson, everybody, and we're talking about really the unifying field that's out there and very heady, heady stuff. So let me ask you this, David, and this is to help bring it back down to the layman. if we can't sense frequencies and vibrations, how do we know they even exist?
Oh, because you can sense them. Absolutely. Everyone has had the experience where they've walked into a room where maybe it's a movie theater and some big, heavy war scene had just gone on and it just ended and the lights are on, but you walk in and you feel uncomfortable. You feel some tension. Or you're walking down the street and there's some house that you just, you have no idea why, but you don't want to walk by that house. There's, you walk into a room where people have just had an argument, and even if they've just left the room, there's still some unsettledness in the air. Okay.
All right.
People, you can walk in. excuse me. If you walk into a hospital, you can. You're very aware of, you know, the effect that that's having. Without, I mean, people know that. If you, you understand what I'm saying. If you go into a hospital where there's hundreds of sick people, there's an energy that's created, and it does have an influence. Just as you can go to, say, Niagara Falls, and the atmosphere there has a very profound influence, too. We're all affected by the energies around us all the time, and research is documenting this out, the low-energy magnetic frequencies that come from electricity and power plants and all that, they're now showing has an influence. You know, there's the interesting thing is, you may not know this, but they've actually done research. If you're sitting at your desk and you're facing east, your brain waves are more coherent than if you're facing any other direction.
Is that right? Facing east. Now, why is that?
I assume it has to do with the way the frequencies are moving around the planet and the magnetic fields and everything. But this is kind of known in very ancient. As you talked about my background as a meditation teacher, some of the most ancient texts in the world are from India. They're from the Veda, and they describe in great detail things which is now being validated by actually Western science.
Well, now, that's an interesting thing. So this sounds more like feng shui than anything else. And is that why Muslims pray to the east? Is there any correlation between them bowing to Mecca in the east and this facing east gives you more coherent brain waves?
You know, I can't say because I don't know that much about Muslims, but I do know that a lot of these very old tradition things, when we're talking something that's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years old, and people keep doing it, they didn't always know why they started doing it, but if it's lasted this long, there's some attunement to natural law. Now, in the book, Spiritual Living in a Crazy, Screwy, Nutso World, and you can go to my website, awakentoheaven.org, and read a chapter. And what we talk about is this relationship between some of these very, very old principles, modern science, and how to get along in the world. You know, as you were saying, this idea about the unified field is very heavy or it's very deep, and that's nice. And if we were in academia, we could have these discussions and it could go on for years. But we're practical people in the world, and what we want is we want the results, the best results that we can get with the minimum effort. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, what are some of the benefits that you've discovered from these frequencies, this resonance, and these vibrations?
Well, one of the frequencies that we have, in fact, one of the ones that I sent you, the happiness bliss one, we were working with a financial company in Central Europe. And they had invested millions building a major soccer stadium, a whole complex with a hotel and a shopping mall and a big thing for a soccer team over in that country. And soccer is very big in Europe, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And they kind of mix it up a little and make it interesting. And what they do every year is the three lowest teams on the major leagues get booted off the major leagues, and the three best minor league teams get to come up to the major league. So it's always switching every year. It's not always the same thing. And this financial company had invested, you know, as I said, millions in this development, and this for a particular team that was having the worst year ever. They hadn't won anything, and it was three quarters of the way through the season, and they were at risk of getting kicked off of the team, kicked off of the league, kicked out of the league, which they didn't feel was a good thing for their investment.
Probably not.
So we sent this, it's a $25 CD. We sent it to them, and we said, now play this over the loudspeakers. Now, it's completely silent. So we said play it over the loudspeakers for 3 hours before the game, during the game, and then leave it on for a few hours after the game. And the first Saturday game that they put it on for, the team won. First game all season they've won. And they thought that was great. They tried it again the next week, and again they won. And they tried it the next week, and again they won. And the president of the company called me up and said, we have 500 employees here. I want a program for the whole company.
I mean, that's a great story, and it's an amazing story. We're talking to David Adelson, everybody. But, David, how much of this is just the thought of power of suggestion, that I tell you you're going to do something, and if you believe it strong enough, you end up doing it? So you send them a DVD or a CD, you tell them this is going to make them win, and they play it, and by golly, they win. I mean, that's just the power of suggestion, isn't it?
Right, and that would be very valid, except for one thing. We never told them. We didn't tell the 4,500 to 5,000 people in the stadium. We didn't tell the team. The people who knew about it were the people who was one or two people at the head of the company and the people who did the technical going in and setting it up. We didn't tell anybody.
Okay, now there, and that was a missing piece of the puzzle. So you did not tell the players. The fans, I'm sure they got excited and so forth, but it was really the players out on the field that made a difference. So you didn't tell the players. They listened to this. They didn't even know it was actually being played, but they heard it at some level, and they responded to it and turned their losing season around and made it a winning season.
Well, and this brings up the very interesting point that you started with about when we talk about vibrations, you don't actually have to hear them. You feel them. Your system, we use the term, resonates with it. You know, you can sit in a vibrating massage chair, and, you know, it has its influence. And what we're talking about is something that's bringing that kind of influence, but you don't necessarily even have to consciously be aware of it. For this same CD, for instance, I have one friend, the Bliss CD. It's about 45 minutes long, 44, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he puts it on. He does it when he's at work. He throws it into his computer, puts it on in the background, and forgets about it because it's silent. It's real easy to forget about. And he says time and time again, about 45 minutes later, he just finds that he's singing this real happy song, you know, My Girl by the Temptations or some great song. He's just quietly singing it, quietly feeling really happy and saying, I have no idea why I feel great. Oh, yes, I put the thing in. Forgot about it. It just builds. It just has this frequency. And as you know, we have some for health. We have some for wealth. We have some for finding life's purpose, for love and harmony. The loved one, we've had people go into somewhat aggressive business meetings where, you know, every company, all the players from the different companies want their company to win, you know. And they put it on their laptop during the meeting. And they said it completely changes the energies of the meeting. He's not telling anybody because, let's face it, it's kind of esoteric. So, you know, with that, he doesn't go in and say, I'm going to play this and let's hope it helps everybody. He just goes in and quietly puts it on behind his PowerPoint presentation, so it's playing on his laptop through his little computer speakers, and what happens is everybody gets along better in the meeting.
Interesting. We're talking to David Adelson, everybody, author of the book Spiritual Living in a Crazy, Screwy, Nutso World. We're talking about frequencies. We're talking about how they can impact your life for the better. Now, David, in the world out there at large, you know, there's a whole spectrum of frequencies. And some of them we've discovered, some of them we have not discovered. My question to you is, out of this whole spectrum of frequencies, how did you discover and harness the power for the ones for love, for the ones for health, for the ones for money? I mean, you know, think of it, there's this broad band of spectrum, and you've got to pluck the frequencies out for each of those end results. How'd you do that?
We actually just created new ones.
You created new frequencies?
Yeah, it was easier to do, because you're right, there's a huge range of stuff. So what we did was we just said, what are the parts of it, and you can look at it, you know, if it's like what you're describing, this huge range of frequencies. And by the way, I want to reference before we get off, there's actually a great little YouTube video on the website that you can go to that actually shows how the unified field arise. It's 2 minutes long, 2 minutes and 9 seconds or something, and it shows how the unified field gives rise to the world around us. So you go to awakentoheaven.org, click on the video updates, and there's a bunch of videos that show you some things there that explain some of this. But here's the thing, saying that there's all these frequencies, is just the same thing as a doctor, as going to a doctor who's about to perform surgery and saying, wait a minute, once you cut this guy up, he's got liver, he's got lungs, he's got, you know, blood vessels, nerves, all this, it's all in there. How do you know what to do? And he knows what to do because he knows what he's looking for. He doesn't, when the doctor goes and does the surgery for the first time, and again, I've got decades of studying, he doesn't have to just start cutting at your toe and work his way up till he finds out that what you've got is something in your nose. He knows where he's going based on some previous learning that he's had. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, but it still begs the question, David. Even though I know I'm going for the cavity, the chest cavity as a surgeon, I still have to know that, and I've gotten that through practice, which you've got 38 years of practice and experience. But the problem is, with the liver or the heart, that's a tangible organ. You can see it once you get in there. With a frequency, I may know that I want the happiness frequency, but again, how do I pluck that one frequency out of the air? Or how do I create a similar frequency to the happiness frequency that's floating around in the air?
In the same... This is actually a fabulous question, and the answer to the question is actually again in the book. What we do is we just how are we doing for time? Do I have 2 minutes?
Oh yeah, you have 2 minutes to flesh this out. Sure.
Okay. Here's the thing: we tend to believe that everybody sees what we see, and we believe that to the extent that if we're walking down the street, or let's say it's twilight, and a frog or a toad or something hops across the path in front of us, we believe that that frog or toad is seeing the sunset and the green grass and the red building and the street sign and the pavement. Is that correct?
Well, that's a fundamental assumption, but yeah. Okay, I'll go with this.
Okay. I mean, most of us, we look around and we believe that that everyone sees the world the way that we do, but that's not true. And in fact, according to science, the way that the toad or the frog sees is they actually only see three things. They see dark, they see light, and they see small dark specks moving around in light. And what happens that's very interesting, and these small specks they shoot their tongue out at and they eat. Okay, if you were to take a frog and you were to hold it down in front of a 7-foot pile of dead flies that was unmoving, that frog would starve to death because he doesn't know that black mass in front of him is actually what he eats. He has no way to know that because the only way he knows is this moving black speck against the white space.
Okay,
now,
all right.
Now, here's the thing is that we look at the frog and we believe this is what he sees. We also look at people like Lord Christ, you know, Jesus Christ. We look at Gandhi. We look at Buddha. We look at some of these great spiritual teachings, St. Francis of Assisi. We look at these people and we think that they see the world the way we do. In fact, we tend to think that God is just a really large man or woman who has all the same perceptions and emotions and feelings that we have. And again, all of this is in the book, Spiritual Living Through in a Crazy, Screwy, Nutso World. We talk about this and we bring home the point that that's not the case. So to answer your question about how do we see these frequencies, the doctor can actually look in and see the liver. With development, with years of some of the meditation programs that we've been doing, one can learn to actually see, if the word is see, and it's not. It's sense. One can sense frequencies. And everyone has this within them now. Everyone already can sense when people are fighting in the next room. Even if you're not hearing it, there's some tension thing. When something happens, when people are happy, we get, you know, you've walked into a room, everyone has walked into a room and just felt something unpleasant happen there, something happy happen there, and all we're talking about is extending that ability more and more.
All right, so we're tapping into a sense that we fundamentally have. David, we've only got about 30 seconds left, and in the last 30 seconds, answer this for me, please. What will it take for frequency theory to become more mainstream and to gain credibility?
Time and research and people just accepting it. You know, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. And sometimes research will do it, and sometimes people will just go out and figure it out on their own. It didn't take a lot of research for people to decide they liked ice cream. So if people are putting out programs like the ones that we offer at the website, awakentoheaven.org, and people are having great results from it, they'll tell their friends, and they'll tell their friends, and it can happen that way. It doesn't have to come from science or the universities or the government. It can just come from people enjoying the benefit.
It'll just go viral, just like that. David, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to David Adelson, everybody, author of the book Spiritual Living in a Crazy, Screwy, Nutso World. And if you want to learn more, you can find out more at his website, awakentoheaven.org. That's awakentoheaven.org. David, thank you so much for being our guest today. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.